And thank you, Amy Goodman, for another great show at Kauai Community Radio. Good afternoon, everyone.
When morning comes to Morgan Town, the merchants roll their awnings down, the milk trucks make their morning.
The 6th of October, and you are listening to Health Talk with Dr. Donna Kaplan, and I'm your host, Cousin Rich, here at KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. And this show is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with, let me look this up, Compassionate Care.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at HawaiiCompassionateCare.com. That's 808-854-6335 or online at HawaiiCompassionateCare.com.
Aloha. Voting is an essential part of our democratic process. By voting, you choose the representatives who will make decisions affecting you, your family, and your community for generations to come. Deadline for voter registration is Monday, 4 p.m., October 6th. For more information, call 241-4800 or email elections@kauai.gov. If you care about the future of Kauai and Niihau, ku no Kauai, stand up for Kauai. Don't miss the boat. Register and vote.
All right, and I also say the views and opinions are those of the speaker, Dr. Donna Kaplan, and do not represent those of KKCR, its members, its underwriters, or its DJs. Good afternoon, Dr. Donna Kaplan.
Good afternoon, Cousin Rich.
How you doing?
I'm doing so well.
Yeah,
and how are you? Beautiful day today. Yeah.
This weather. I love it like this. I mean, I love the heat, the humidity. It's
been beautiful.
Yeah, it has been beautiful.
The studio is cold, though.
I'm shivering
a little bit after being in the heat.
Well, as the listeners know, our phones do not work. We cannot put them on the air, but they can call in and at the numbers and ask me the questions, and I'll write them down and see how that works today.
Would you like to give everybody the phone number here?
826-7771, and toll free 866-275-1112. And what's our topic of discussion today?
We are going to talk about sleep and insomnia. And really getting at the root cause, as we always do when we're working with holistic medicine. And what is very, very, very important when we're talking about getting a good night's sleep is having adequate darkness at night and bright sunlight during the day. So that's just as important. And what happens is, at night, you need continual darkness in order to have a sustained release of melatonin. So light is perceived through the eyes, goes through the optic nerve to the hypothalamus. And there's a little gland called the SCN in the hypothalamus, and that is what tells the pineal gland to secrete melatonin or to stop the secretion of melatonin. So when you have the light coming in, it's going to stop the secretion of melatonin. But basically, the hypothalamus and the SCN is actually the way that we have the circadian rhythm developed. So in primitive times, or in the case of, not having artificial lights and electricity, we develop a circadian rhythm that with the cycle, natural cycles of night and day. And so now, in our nowadays environment, we need to establish that darkness at night and the light during the day. So a lot of people are actually, you know, not being exposed to much sunlight because they're in an office, for example, with artificial light. But that is just as important as the darkness at night. So what we want to do at nighttime is really create that dark environment as much as we can. We also want to disconnect electromagnetic frequencies like computers, and you know, if you have a clock right next to your bed, it's important to unplug that or move that so it's far enough away, because that also affects how your body is going to be able to sleep through the night. Now, when we have smart meters, like we do on this island, the island of Kauai, we have a network of smart meters, and a lot of people are having insomnia. That's one of the most frequent symptoms that people have. Also, you know, having a router for your computer. So the Wi-Fi is actually very much causes people to have insomnia. Even if they just turn off that Wi-Fi at night, that makes a big difference. Now, a lot of people are very electromagnetic sensitive, and they need to actually unplug everything in, and if they can, you know, even turn off the circuit breaker in the house, this really helps. So the cycle of having a good amount of light during the day, you know, at least for a good couple of hours, and darkness at night is very, very, very important for the circadian rhythm of the body and for the natural release of melatonin. So melatonin, again, as I said, is what's released from the pineal gland, and even just a little bit of light can, like if you turn your, you wake up, you have to go to the bathroom, you turn your light on, or there's a light in the bathroom when you get to the bathroom, that can turn off the excretion of melatonin. So melatonin helps us to have a good sustained sleep with good REM, REM, and a deep sleep. So melatonin is also very beneficial to the body. It's very high in antioxidants. It's very important as a free radical scavenger. It's a powerful antioxidant. It helps combat inflammation. It has anti-cancer benefits. And it inhibits the proliferation of a wide range of cancer cell types. So there's much benefit in melatonin and keeping that melatonin released during the night. And in terms of helping with cancer, melatonin can actually trigger the cancer cells to self-destruct, which is called apoptosis. It also interferes with the blood supply, angiogenesis of the tumors. And it can also, depending on the chemotherapy, if a person is using chemotherapy, it can increase the effectiveness of the chemotherapy and at the same time decrease the toxic side effects. So melatonin very much is an immune-stimulating substance as well. And it's been particularly shown to be helpful in breast cancer and prostate cancer when there's been a hormone-related proliferation of the cancer. So, you know, with insomnia, like anything that we're dealing with the body, with our body systems, we can't just say, okay, we're going to take a pill. you know, to sleep better. We have to look at what is the underlying cause. So we've just talked about, you know, the interruption of the circadian rhythm of having that darkness during the night and enough light during the day that can interrupt this. But what's behind so much of insomnia is adrenal fatigue and adrenal dysfunction. So we're going to talk a lot about that. Also, you have adrenal fatigue behind insomnia and anxiety. And a lot of people have both, okay? A lot of people are waking up with anxiety or they can't go to sleep because they're worried. So they often go hand in hand. Now, our adrenal glands get so depleted by stress. So when there's stress, the body is going to, the adrenal glands are going to excrete epinephrine, which is adrenaline, and they're going to excrete cortisol. So cortisol is excreted to initially protect us from stress, but if it's being released over and over and over again, it's going to suppress the immune system, so people are going to get more sick. It's going to cause other dysfunctions as well, gaining weight, difficult losing weight, especially that midline weight. So stress will cause that because of cortisol. Reduced insulin sensitivity. So the cells become less sensitive to insulin, which leads to diabetes. And also increased blood sugar, which also leads to diabetes. Again, you have a suppression of the immune system, the secretory IgA, which is our main cellular defense factor. Natural killer cells are decreased. T lymphocyte activity is decreased. You have an increased loss in bone mass, and calcium absorption is blocked. So we have this demineralization. We also have, like I said, an inability to reduce weight and a weight gain in the midline. So I have so many patients that say, you know, I'm hardly eating anything. I'm exercising regularly, even twice a day, and I'm still gaining weight. I can't lose weight at all. And that's most often because of stress and because of adrenal fatigue. So what happens with adrenal fatigue is that we are going to initially have this cortisol being released all the time, and then it starts to decrease because we're running out of it. And the adrenal glands are then on hyper mode, and so because of stress, and they're going to be excreting at different times of the day. So a normal picture for the adrenal glands and cortisol is to have the highest level of cortisol secreted in the morning, and then it gets lower after late morning, and it goes lower, so it's like a reverse curve. It's lower as the day goes on, and lowest at nighttime. Well, what happens, especially in mild to medium adrenal burnout, is that you're having this very spastic kind of adrenal output. Or even if the person is staying up late, it goes into from 11 to 1 is like that hyperdrive adrenal time. So very, very important to go to bed before 10 o'clock. Very, very important. And very important in terms of nourishing the adrenal glands and getting the adrenal health back to normal is to go to bed early and to get a good night's sleep. But here we go. It's very difficult to get a good night's sleep when your adrenal glands are dumping cortisol at the wrong times, because they become very spastic.
Is it true that that the cortisol gets released more in the morning when you wake up, and
yes.
then decrease throughout the day?
Yes, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
That's what it
I was listening.
That's normally what happens.
Okay.
And so what happens when the adrenal glands start to fatigue, or if they're in medium fatigue, then they start being spastic, and you start getting adrenal output in the middle of the night. And a person can wake up and have anxiety as well. So what causes stress? Okay, we know what causes stress when we're anxious, when we're upset, when we get scared and we have to run away. So it used to be that there might be a lion and we'd need to run away, so the adrenaline would help us to run, right? So even if we're sitting in our office and our boss yells at us, we get nervous, we get scared, and we'll have that adrenaline and cortisol release that happens. So also in a situation of having prolonged illness, okay, this is a physical stress on the body. Or if a person is taking antibiotics and having an illness, so drugs can also be an increased stress on the body. There are many things that lead to stress. If somebody is not getting enough nourishment into their bodies, maybe they have a high carbohydrate or sugar diet, or maybe they're not absorbing well. So I see this a lot in my office. I see a lot of people coming in with malabsorption, and their body's just not getting enough protein and enough of the other nutrients. And so with malabsorption, you're not going to have enough protein, you're not going to have enough minerals and enough vitamins and enough fats being digested and absorbed. And this leads to more stress, physical stress on the body, and more adrenal burnout.
So it's important to have protein with all your meals, correct?
Yes. And very important. Protein and good fats with all your meals, especially if you're having adrenal fatigue.
And especially if you're a vegetarian. I'm sure you see a lot of vegetarians in your practice.
Sure.
Yeah, and
sure.
I've been reading and following and studying. I've been a vegetarian since the 70s, and we were taught in those days the importance of getting protein in every meal by complementary.
Mm-hmm.
And today it seems that a lot of young vegetarians don't know the importance of protein and complementing their meals, and a lot of vegetarians are protein deficient. I've been reading, and
that's true.
So that's
true. It's very true, and especially if they might be having malabsorption as well.
Mm-hmm.
So adrenal fatigue can account for malabsorption and lowered hydrochloric acid. One absolutely needs hydrochloric acid good in the stomach being released so that protein can be digested and absorbed, and fats can be digested and absorbed, and also minerals in particular. So adrenal fatigue will lead to this. Also, if we talk a lot about this on this radio show, if a person is having food sensitivities or food allergies, the body wants to protect us. It wants to protect us because those are actually toxins to that particular body. So it's very important to identify and stay away from food intolerances, okay, which could be a sensitivity or could be an actual allergy. So the body will say, no, we need to protect. So that's another way that malabsorption happens. Also, it's extremely common to be given a proton pump inhibitor medication, like the purple pill, like Protonix, and what's another name of it? I'm not remembering the name right now, but they're proton pump inhibitors that, in fact, inhibit the hydrochloric acid secretion in the stomach. So many, many people are put on that by their doctors, and they stay on it. And it actually causes malabsorption. And they're finally finding out that actually people are getting bone thinning and osteoporosis because they're on this kind of medication. So there are different reasons for malabsorption. And but very much so when we're talking about stabilizing the adrenal glands, we're talking also about stabilizing blood sugar levels. So this is another a very important role of cortisol. So when we eat a meal, we are getting glucose into the bloodstream. In the presence of glucose in the bloodstream, then you have insulin being secreted in the from the pancreas. So insulin is secreted whenever there's a good amount of glucose in the blood. And the more glucose there is all at once, then the more you're going to have a higher secretion of insulin. So insulin helps to get the glucose into the cells. So it does that by short-term storage, which is in the form of glycogen. So that's short-term. It can be accessed quickly. And long-term storage, of course, is adipose tissue or fat tissue. Also, anything that when insulin is present, anything that makes fat gets turned on, like cholesterol and making fat tissue, adipose tissue. And so when we have sugar or fructose or high fructose corn syrup or even a very sugary fruit on an empty stomach, we're going to get a blast of glucose all of a sudden in the blood, a corresponding secretion of insulin, and that insulin, if the cells have not become desensitized to insulin, if the insulin receptors have not become desensitized. So this desensitization happens when you have a lot of sugar on an empty stomach without the protein and fats, and that leads to diabetes. So as long as those cells aren't desensitized, then the glucose is going to get stored in these forms that I just talked about. And then what happens is the adrenal glands have to kick in and put out cortisol because we need a certain level of glucose in order for the brain to survive and for normal functioning of the body. And so if we're having large amounts of sugar without having the protein and beneficial fats in the meal, and if this is happening a lot, then you're going to be getting these blood sugar spikes. And this leads to hypoglycemia, which is highs and lows of blood sugar levels. When you get a low of the blood sugar, this is also stressing the adrenal glands. And it very much causes anxiety. It can cause dizziness, it can cause jitteriness and shaking, but it inevitably is going to be, if for someone who has adrenal fatigue, this will be like a hairpin trigger for more adrenaline and more cortisol to be released because of the stress. And this definitely causes increase in heart rate, could be heart palpitations. You can have so many different symptoms, actually. And this happens, this will keep happening if a person has, the more adrenal fatigue that person has, the more hypoglycemia they'll have. So it turns out as well that hypoglycemia and low blood sugar is very common for insomnia. When a person, there are two major kinds of insomnia. One, when it's very difficult to fall asleep. And two, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't fall back to sleep. And often this is because of low blood sugar. So in that case, we want to have a little snack before we go to bed, like a protein / beneficial fat snack. So that would be, you know, in a something like a nuts and seeds can provide good protein and good beneficial fatty acids. It's even better if you soak seeds and nuts overnight, and it makes them more digestible. So adrenal fatigue, you're going to get more and more highs and lows with the blood sugar. The blood sugar imbalances are going to lead to more adrenal fatigue, more cortisol output.
I have a question.
Yes.
Men, women, post menopause, mm-hmm. menstrual, adrenal mm-hmm. fatigue,
mm-hmm.
is it all different in those categories?
Well, it's more noticeable in women.
Mm-hmm.
It's more noticeable in them, but men certainly. Mm-hmm. One of the effects of cortisol is going to be you're going to have an increase in estrogen. So there should be balance in a woman with estrogen and progesterone, and you're going to have an increase in estrogen. There's going to be estrogen dominance. The more there is adrenal fatigue, the more it's going to affect the different organ systems of the body, particularly all of the pituitary, the thyroid, the reproductive glands. So the glandular system is going to be very much affected, and it can be completely thrown off. And it can look like, for example, a woman has hypothyroid. It can look like, you're having a woman is getting fibroids from having too much estrogen, you can have different pictures like that. It's also going to, in men, it's going to decrease testosterone. So, more and more fatigue in various ways. And a lot of times, adrenal fatigue, unless it's at the end stage, which is called Addison's disease, that's the end stage adrenal fatigue, that's when, in conventional medicine, it's diagnosed, because there is a test of testing ACTH, which is put out by the pituitary. So that test is only if there is very, very end-stage adrenalism, it's called, adrenal fatigue. So really, we don't, in convention, in holistic medicine, or when doctors are practicing holistic medicine, then we can diagnose by the symptoms a person is having, at what stage they're having adrenal fatigue and how severe it is. There are also some tests that we do that you can test saliva tests. You can have a saliva test done, which will test for cortisol levels. So that saliva test, you wouldn't just test one cortisol during the day, because you would test four of them. So the morning, the noontime, the mid to late afternoon, more like late afternoon, and then before bed. So you would do a saliva test for all of those numbers. And again, the normal cortisol picture would be high in the early morning, and it gets lower and lower to lowest at night. But with adrenal fatigue in the beginning to mid stages, we'll find it usually lower in the morning, and then might be higher in the afternoon or high at night, something like that. So that's when it's very dysfunctional. And at the later stages of adrenal fatigue, it's just flatline. You can also do a saliva test. You can test melatonin levels, and you can also test the level for DHEA, which is another important hormone-related hormone that it's related to the reproductive hormones as well that the adrenal glands put out. So that can also help to assess adrenal fatigue. So
In post-menopause?
Mm-hmm. In post-menopause, a woman is going to be, rather than relying on her ovaries, which aren't functioning to secrete hormones. She's going to be primarily relying on the adrenal glands to secrete hormones that are then converted into estrogen and progesterone. So it's very much affected by fatigue, adrenal fatigue. So as I was going to get into, so if you go to a conventional doctor, they might see, ah, this person has low thyroid, and give a thyroid pill, or, oh, this person is having depression, and put them on antidepressants. And that's not getting at the root issue, which is adrenal fatigue related. And because the adrenal fatigue is going to affect these other endocrine organs, as well as the amount of serotonin and GABA and other neurotransmitters that the person has, okay, that are important. So if we start giving medications for these other issues without getting at the root underlying cause, this can cause even more adrenal fatigue and even more imbalance in the pituitary, thyroid, reproductive, and adrenal endocrine organs. So
it is a little past 12:30, Donna, and you are listening to Health Talk with Dr. Donna Kaplan. KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. We're talking about sleep issues and adrenal fatigue. And let me give you Dr. Donna's number. We just had a listener who requested it. 828-6153, Dr. Donna Kaplan. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
Is that what she wanted, my phone number?
Yes, she wanted to know. This actually was her husband. She said, my wife is in adrenal fatigue and I've been looking for someone to speak with, and now I know. So there you go.
Well, very good. So back to the issue of hypoglycemia and protein deficiency. So you asked that question earlier, Cousin Rich. So we talked about that if you have a low intake of protein, or if you have malabsorption, this is going to not only affect the adrenal glands, but it's also affecting blood sugar levels. So often I'll find a patient who wakes up in the middle of the night, even with anxiety, and they're having blood sugar issues because they're not getting enough protein and beneficial fats throughout the day. So really, if we're having adrenal fatigue and insomnia, this kind of insomnia, or insomnia due to adrenal fatigue and low blood sugar, then we want to have protein and beneficial fats at every single meal. We need to avoid having sugars and fruits by themselves. We need to avoid having fruit for breakfast, okay? You want to have a good protein meal for breakfast. And this can be in the vegetable protein category. It doesn't have to be animal protein. You want to, if you're going to have a fruit or a small dessert, you want to make sure that you've had protein and beneficial fats with that. And so a person who's having adrenal fatigue is going to want to eat 5 or 6 times a day, every couple of hours, every 2.5 hours. Very important. And very important, even if it's just a snack, that it be a protein and fat snack. So again, nuts and seeds or hard-boiled eggs, something like that will play an important role. Now, if you have low blood sugar, hypoglycemia, in other words, or adrenal fatigue, you do not want to have this on, you do not want to wait until you get hungry to eat. So if you wait until you're hungry to eat, then you're going to, the blood sugar is going to drop low, and that's going to be very stressful. You're going to have adrenaline and cortisol released. It could be even a hair trigger for anxiety for a person who's really having a lot of adrenal fatigue. And it's going to lead to more dysfunction at nighttime. So we want to try to eat before we get hungry, when we're having adrenal fatigue or when we have highs and lows in the blood sugar, hypoglycemia. If we have waited too long and we're very hungry, protein and fats digest over a period of time. That's why they're good at sustaining blood sugar level. But what we want to do in that case, if we've waited too long, is to have a carbohydrate with the protein and fat. Okay, and better not be a simple carbohydrate, you know, like a white bread or a pasta or a sweet. But it's better if it's a whole grain. So anyways, so adrenal dysfunction very much leads to insomnia. And that's very often at the root of what's going on. Now, serotonin levels also are very important for sleep. And they also, the amino acid that is important in making serotonin is L-tryptophan. So L-tryptophan is also important for making melatonin, which, as we said earlier in the show, is very important for sleep. L-tryptophan, you need vitamin B6 in order to convert L-tryptophan to melatonin and as well to serotonin. Now, for people that are protein deficient, that aren't having enough protein intake and or they have malabsorption, then this is really an issue, because the body is going to favor making them into protein for cells like muscle cells and heart cells. The heart cell is going to be preferred over making a neurotransmitter like serotonin or GABA. And so this is going to be preferential. And when you're having malabsorption, when you're having malnutrition, then naturally the neurotransmitters are going to be depleted. And that person's going to be depressed, as well as adrenal fatigue. That person is also going to be depleted in the neurotransmitters. So most people know what serotonin is. GABA is also an important neurotransmitter that also relates to depression, like serotonin, but it's almost always involved with anxiety, and it can be involved with insomnia. So sometimes people will take GABA who are low in GABA to decrease their anxiety and to decrease their insomnia. Now, ideally, again, we want to get at the root cause. Okay, we want to get that GABA up naturally, which we're going to do through nutrition, or if there are other imbalances from pharmaceutical medications. However, in the short term, this can be very beneficial. Now, we talked about two main ways to increase your adrenal health is to by going to sleep early and by establishing a similar time every day that you go to sleep and that you wake up. So that's very important. It also helps with getting to sleep. And we talked about stabilizing the blood sugar level and getting enough protein and beneficial fats. Of course, decreasing stress is very, very important. Staying away from stimulants like coffee and sugar is a stimulant, especially on an empty stomach. Relaxation techniques, quieting the mind activities before bed, especially, very important. Taking a calming bath, maybe with lavender oil. You want to not be on the computer right before bed, especially on your laptop before bed. So this light, this blue light of the computer screen is going to interfere with the circadian rhythm and with the release of melatonin we talked about earlier. Turning off your cell phone, very important. So we talked about those. Now, herbs for back to the adrenal glands. You know, you can take vitamins and minerals and herbs to support the adrenal glands. It's very important if you're beyond a mild adrenal fatigue and you're getting into a more moderate or advanced adrenal fatigue, it's important to work with a holistic doctor, holistic practitioner who is very versed in the different stages of adrenal fatigue and has a lot of experience, because you can, you know, every person is different, and every person, you know, has a different need for vitamins, minerals, for supplements, and it's a very careful balance with advanced adrenal fatigue or mid-adrenal fatigue, even with when you're talking about the different endocrine glands being affected, the pituitary, the thyroid, the hypothalamus, the pineal gland, the reproductive organs. So, some herbs that are very helpful for mild to moderate are Siberian ginseng, Eleutherococcus, and ashwagandha. Sometimes licorice is beneficial for people. Ginseng can be beneficial. Cordyceps can be beneficial. But all of these can, in someone who has more advanced adrenal fatigue, can actually act as a stimulant to the adrenal glands, to releasing cortisol and adrenaline. So we do want to be careful. But, you know, some of the really important for adrenal fatigue would be vitamin C, pantothenic acid, which is B5, magnesium. And magnesium is also, calcium and magnesium will help with insomnia. Vitamin E is important for the adrenal glands. L-carnitine is very important. Always vitamin D3 is so important to the body. And best way to get it is to make it via the sun and the skin and cholesterol. Some people can't make it via the skin, and that's usually we're seeing that malabsorption issue because they don't have the right cofactors, the right vitamins and minerals in order to make that happen. Or maybe they don't have enough cholesterol to make it happen. Cholesterol is very important building block for the adrenal hormones and for the reproductive hormones. And for cholesterol sulfate, which is a very important compound in the body. We've had Dr. Stephanie Seneff from FIT and part-time on Kauai. She's come and talked about that a lot for those of you who are listeners. And also beta-carotene, selenium, and selenium are very important as well. Let's talk right now about sleeping pills. So we're talking about, you know, there could be adrenal fatigue going on, and we're not getting at the underlying cause of adrenal fatigue, but we're put on sleeping pills. Now, according to the CDC, Center for Disease Control, there are between 50 and 70 million Americans who are suffering from sleep deprivation. Nearly 9 million Americans take prescription sleeping pills. Okay, 1 in 6 are diagnosed with sleep disorders, 1 in 8 with trouble sleeping using sleeping pills. In 2011, the amount of generic Ambien was $2.8 billion. Wow. Lunestra was $912 million. And so Ambien, which is very, very common, many, many people are on, is Zolpidem tartrate. And excuse me if I'm saying that wrong, but that's the generic.
They say it's one of the most addicting drugs, Ambien.
It is. It is. There was a study by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Emergency room visits involving this particular sleep aid, Zolpidem, doubled between 2005 and 2010. From 2009 to 2010, that year, it reached 42,247 visits. 57% of these cases had additional drugs involved. So many people were taking the Zolpidem, okay, the generic Ambien, and others like that in combination with other benzodiazepines like Valium and Xanax. 26% of the cases were with those. 25% of the cases were combined with narcotic pain relievers. And alcohol was used in 14% of these ER emergency room cases. Nearly half, so about 47% of this over-medication-related emergency room visits resulted in either a hospital admission, a transfer to another medical facility, and a quarter of the more serious cases involved admissions to a critical or intensive care unit. Now, side effects. So Cousin Rich said one important one, that it's addictive and very hard to get off of it. Side effects include daytime drowsiness. Okay, so that can affect...
drowsiness, more like my neighbor was hooked on Ambien, passed out in her garden.
Wow.
Just fell over.
And people who drive...
Yeah, I hear that,
know,
people drive and they find themselves...
have an accident, they can fall asleep.
And they wake up in their pajamas at, like, the mall or something and don't remember how they got there. And
yeah, they say sleepwalking happens. You have this amnesia, some kind of amnesia that happens when you take the sleeping pill. And so you don't remember that you've been awake most of the night. What they found is that when they, the NIH, the National Institute of Health, did a study, they found that in terms of falling asleep, these drugs helped 13 minutes. Okay, you could fall asleep on average 13 minutes earlier compared to placebo. Okay, and it increased the time you were asleep by only 11 minutes compared to the placebo. And the participants believed that they had slept longer. They thought they had slept up to an hour longer when they were taking these pills. But in reality, as Cousin Rich was demonstrated, that you know they found people driving to the mall that didn't realize that they have this amnesia. It prevents the proper formation of memories, and people wake up and they may simply forget that they've been unable to sleep. They have cognitive deficits the next day. Their REM sleep and dreaming, which is so important in the deep sleep, is suppressed from these medications. And there's a known dementia risk in seniors, as well as, I read one statistic, 35% increase in cancer. So, not a very safe and healthy alternative to try to sleep when it's not really benefiting the person at all. And so I was also talking about other side effects besides drowsiness. You can get dizziness, hallucinations, agitation, sleepwalking or sleep driving, as Cousin Rich mentioned, drowsiness while driving. The FDA has said that levels above 50 nanograms per milliliter may impair driving. So, a lot of serious risks here with very, very, very little benefit. So, again, we are looking at, in holistic medicine, we are looking at the root cause of imbalance, of disease. And in this case, we can make major strides when we address tired adrenal glands and when we address all of the stimulation with lights, with electromagnetic frequencies, with electricity. And, you know, someone's own stress, you know, reading you want to read a book that's not too exciting at night, you know. You don't want to try to watch a movie that's going to be scary or exciting.
Don, I have a question.
So, yes.
Why is it that every creature, every animal on this planet Earth, including us, require sleep? The birds go away at night, and they know when, and the dogs and cats go to sleep. And why is it that we as humans have this trouble, that we just don't automatically go to sleep and stay asleep?
Well, I think that we used to, but again, I think this, what I've been talking about, because of all the artificial stimulants.
So it's stress. Did you say stress is major?
Stress-related, yeah. Artificial lights, not getting the good beneficial lights, the good sun during the day, which is very important for that circadian rhythm. And again, the adrenal fatigue and low blood sugar. These are the most common causes, really. So exercise is very, very important. We don't want to exercise at night, so that's going to be too much of a stimulant to the adrenal glands. But we want to exercise to whatever we can without getting fatigued during the day. And that's going to lead to great circulation, to growth hormone release, to thyroid hormone release, all the hormones are going to be much happier with exercise. So that's very, very important for sleep.
Well, we have a couple minutes left, and I have to say, someone found by Kalihiwai Ridge a hunting dog, perhaps, a brindle with a white chest, a large dog, found it today, no collar. And so if you are missing a dog, please call Bonnie or Kenny at 828-6390. So there you go. Thank you. We have about a couple minutes left, Donna. This has been a very good show, very informative. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
So
we have... Oh, and next week we're going to have the fun drive, right?
The fund drive starts next Monday, yes.
Next Monday.
Next Monday.
Right. It was going to be this time, but...
Our phones were fried. Zip with the lightning.
So, you know, L-tryptophan is very good for, you know, helping to sleep. And, you know, B6 is also going to be important for helping the conversion of L-tryptophan to melatonin. I did mention, you know, magnesium up to like 500 milligrams, calcium 1,000 milligrams. You know, again, if the person is not absorbing well, they're not going to be able to absorb these minerals very well. There is a topical magnesium that one can get as well.
Well, Donna, we have run out of time.
We've run out of time. So this has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Cousin Rich.
And why don't you give out your number again, please?
My phone number is 828-6153. And I have a family practice. I see people of all ages. And it's a very comprehensive visit to get at the root underlying causes.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
For your healing wonders.
And
up next, my good friend Richard with One World Radio. Go well, everyone.
Aloha.